Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you so much for joining my sister, my friend, tonight. Tonight, we're just happy to be back with you live and in living color tonight. We thank God for the opportunity to come on the line and to share with our sisters and our listening audience tonight. And we want to let you know that we are here to undergird you, uplift you, and give you information that is pertinent to your everyday life to help you answer questions that you might have questions about, to be here for our sisters. We just want to provide community events information and just all little things that women go through every day and need to know all about. First, we want to start by letting our president give a shout out, Ms. Bell.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. And we want you to dial 310-982-4126 with any questions, comments, or concerns about tonight's topic. It's a very, very, very interesting topic tonight we're going to be discussing. And I find that we do have a lot of different opinions and issues about it, but we want to talk about what is right and what the Bible says about same-sex marriage. You know, the law went into effect all over the United States that men can marry men and women can marry men. But that's not according to God's word. That's not according to what the Bible says. You know, there's a lot of controversy going on about this. And I have a passage here that says, "The word of God endures forever." I've heard many liberal theologians say that the Bible is out of date and not relevant for today. Recently, I heard that 42% of seminary students did not believe the Word of God was without error since it was written so many years ago. People argue that what was then sin is not sin today. Are the liberal theologians correct to say that the Word of God is no longer pertinent to this day and age? The Word of God actually talks about whether the Scriptures are constrained by times and cultures. God has said that His Word abides forever. Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will never pass away. That comes from Matthew 24 and 35. The Bible on marriage says Scripture, when we are defining marriage, neither should we depend upon human opinions, liberal theologians, sociologists, modern philosophers, or on new state laws and constitutions. God's laws are a higher moral standard than that of mankind and even government and states. If we rely solely on Scripture, we will know the truth. Since the Bible is the Word of God, we must believe what it says, and we care not that it's not popular because it's more important to believe what God says than what humans think. What is popular is not always the right thing, and what is the right thing is not always popular. So let's read the Word of God to see what He says about marriage, same-sex marriage, and homosexual relationships. It says, when Jesus was speaking about marriage and grounds for divorce, He actually gave God's definition of marriage, saying, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become flesh, one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What, therefore, God has joined together, let no man separate." Jesus is quoting from the book of Genesis, where the very first God-ordained marriage originated. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. male and female. He created them. Here we see that God not only performed his first marriage ceremony, he was the originator of marriage, and it was in the beginning between a man and a woman. God knew that it was not good for a man to be alone, so he made a woman for Adam. In fact, God did not make man to be joined with men or women to be joined with women, but he joined with someone of the opposite sex. Even biology teaches us that it would be a little difficult to have and raise children if the marriage partners were of the same sex. It would have been impossible to be fruitful and increase in number from the earth. Children receive better balance on how to be men and women when there are both a male and a female in the home. Same-sex marriage may be fashionable today, but that doesn't make it right in God's eyes. He sees it as sin, as we later see from the scriptures. Paul clarified that sex outside the marriage is wrong, and indirectly he said sex should be between men and women. He wrote that each man should have sexual relationships with his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. There is no clear definition of marriage in the New Testament than 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and it is always between a man and a woman. So with that being said, I'm going to open up the line for Beverly to go ahead and expound on what she has to say about this issue tonight. And we want you to call in and give us your opinions, concerns, and thoughts about our topic tonight. And we will delve into this a little farther. Bev, go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I was concerned about when not even the Supreme Court passed it, because some of the men and women that we have in the Supreme Court today, we have to be concerned about who they are and what their life issues are. But morally, we're concerned about our government. The night that this the Supreme Court dropped down their ruling about same-sex marriage is the same day that the White House flash rainbow colors on the White House. They issued those rainbow colors around the White House. Now, that sent a signal out to the world that everybody agreed with same-sex marriage, because if you did, it sent out the message that this country is pro same-sex marriage. This is what everybody in the country approves. And I was wrong, because our president says that it's okay, doesn't mean that everybody in the country agrees with everything that he says. I thought it was very wrong and disrespectful for them to put those colors out there and for him to get on the air and say that it was like it was everybody in the country was agreeing with him. It's sad that our country has gotten to the point that everything that God says is wrong, it seems like we're trying to say is right. We're trying to change everything. It was just so disappointing to see the White House do that. It was so disappointing to hear so many people stand up as though that was the new thing and that man had created marriage and man had the right to change it. It seems like our country, excuse the phrase, but it seems like the old folks say it's just going to hell in a handbasket, because we're doing so many depraved things are being lauded as good now. I told my husband I can't find it anywhere in the Bible where man came from woman. The Bible says that man was created first. God talked to him, and then God created woman. So the woman came out of the rib of a man. But with the same-sex marriage, with these gender things, it seems like this country is just gone, turned upside down. it is so disheartening and so confusing to watch people live their lives in such a confused way. So everything that God has said in His Bible is wrong. I was reading something that was this morning, and it says, then the faith comes in our part. We must believe that God's words are true and that the world was created by Elohim, God. The world wasn't created by man. We don't have a right to change the words of the Bible and say that the Bible is wrong. The Bible is old. Everything in God's word is true. It was true when it was written, and it's true today. I don't understand where people get the right to make these type of changes and not expect that we're going to have to answer for these things that we've done.
I don't either, Belle, because the word of God is true, and it does not come back void. I have a caller on the line. Would you like to make a comment? I see you wanted to say something.
That's so true right now, what's going on in the world. It seems like a lot of people not believing in the word of God, and actually, you know, it's kind of sad to watch because it's in the end of time right now.
Yes, I was in a conference on Saturday where our teacher was telling us that, yes, God is soon to come, and we must get it right. We must start living the life that God has spared us to have, because if it had not been for Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, that died, we wouldn't have this opportunity. And the Bible is slowly fulfilling itself with the issues that are coming up from day to day. And my thing is that I don't understand why we're not standing up for what God says is right and what God has endorsed in His word and stand on it, because it's clearly stated. It's clearly in the Bible, and there are Christians out there that are taking it and twisting it and using it to their advantage and just telling the people what they want to hear and not what's right by God's word. I mean, that's one thing that really baffles me today about some of these larger churches, some of these preachers. I even saw on the I was watching one of the gospel channels one day, and it was a church that was a gay church, and it had all gay members. How is that? I wish somebody would explain that to me. How do you have a gay church?
Well, you know, some of these members have gone into traditional churches, and when the pastors haven't agreed with their way of thinking, then they've gone out and formed their own church. And then you've got some other churches where they've adopted that lifestyle and they've taken an arm and they've said that it's okay. And they do it on the premise that they said that God loves everybody. That's their whole premise, is that God loves everybody. And because you are this way, they're saying that God created you this way. Now, then that makes it God's a liar, because He says in His word that He didn't do that. But they're saying that if you're gay, you're homosexual, whatever you want to call yourself, that they didn't do this willingly. This is the way that they are. This is the way they were born. They've always felt that they were a woman. They've always felt that they were a man. And so they build their churches on the premises that God loves everybody, and He doesn't. He's fair and grace. His grace and mercy is for everybody. And so that they can have their own churches, they can go ahead and have their own beliefs, because God is love. They don't say anything about His commandments. They don't say anything about His laws. They just say that God is love, and since God is love, it's man that's judging them, not God. So I'm confused about, in His word He said that that was an abomination. So when did He take it back? That wasn't an abomination. Did you take it back somewhere in Revelations or somewhere and say that? I haven't read it. I haven't heard it. But
his word would always stand, and God, once he make his decision, I don't think God would take it back, because he destroyed a whole town, Sodom and Gomorrah, for homosexuality,
yes,
for people not being obedient to the word of God. He destroyed it, so I don't think our Father would change his mind. That's just me speaking hypothetically.
Right, because when he created everything, I've been doing this Bible study, and it goes back and asks you all these questions. And one of the things it says that when he created everything, every time he created something, at the end he said it was good. He didn't say I need to go back and refix it or go back and change it. Every time he made something, when he brought light, when he created day and night, when he created the moon, when he created man and created woman, he said it's good. Now, if he said it's good, and he confirmed marriage for husband and wife, man and woman, he said it was good, when did he change his mind and say that it was okay for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman? When did he say that? He never said that he didn't love us, but he said he didn't like some of our ways, some of the things that we do. And that's why Jesus come to show us, to deliver us, to heal us, to save us from that sinful life.
And he told us to beware of false prophets.
Well, yeah, so we got a lot of false prophets out here. It's so sad. It just breaks your heart. But my biggest concern, LaShonda, is where are the ministers?
And what are they saying?
I mean, you can't hide up in the church house. You're supposed to be out there proclaiming God's word. If you stuck up in a church house and you're not saying anything, that's why the people look for the leadership from the ministers. But
right.
The pastors.
Where's the preachers?
Where are the preachers? What are they doing?
Good. Okay. And why are they taking sides with this stuff that don't make no sense? They're supposed to be trained in and study the Bible about all of this, and then they don't preach it and they don't live by it? Why?
But
you know, that's what I'm
saying. I mean,
look,
they should have been all over the TV this weekend. They should have been all over the TV this weekend. We want free times. We want to talk about this. We want to discuss this. This is wrong. And telling people why it's wrong. But I'm not hearing anything from any of the ministers. You're not seeing any of these guys on the radio. Nobody's up in arms about it.
Nobody.
It's just like we lay down and say, well, whatever they want to do is whatever them heathens
do
want to
all
do.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like, that they just, whatever they say is okay, and they just pushing it on us. They're just making us want have to try to accept this, but that's not what the Word of God says. It's
but
not.
We're not pushing
God
back.
God didn't say that.
Yeah, we're not pushing back. We're not saying, no, let me tell you what God said.
Okay. And see, and that's the thing about it. And then they have the Bible to stand on, and they're not standing on it. I'm reading here where it says, Paul wrote, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not be deceived, neither fornicators or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Do they not want to inherit the kingdom of God? If you are a pastor, you're going against everything that God said right here. So what, they don't think that they're going to be judged like that? That they're not going to be held accountable for leading us wrong?
Yeah.
What are they thinking?
That's a good scripture.
Huh?
That's a good scripture that I need to hear.
But thank you. Yeah, I'm just looking here, and I'm trying to find out. Well, like Beverly said, where in the Bible did they change it? Where did they change it? Where did they say it was okay? When did he say that? I can't find it.
That's what I'm saying. They use their whole argument is based on God loves everybody. Surely He does. He said He does. But He also gives us the rules, the laws, His commandments for living right. What will happen when you live wrong? What will happen when you disobey?
Live right. That's
obedience
right.
is better than sacrifice. We have to obey. It is given to us to obey. I was looking at the, again, through this Bible study I was doing. It said that man, through the direction of Satan, has come very close to destroying the world. God is a builder. Satan is a destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
And every year we watch our world, our country, be destroyed just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. So, after a while, well, when you said, aren't they concerned? I don't think that they're really concerned about it. They're really concerned about what they're getting right now. They're, you know, this country, we're based on happiness, joy, pleasures, and all that stuff right now. So they're not really, it doesn't appear as though they're looking at what's going to happen in the long run. They're concerned about their pleasures, their enjoyment, what they're getting right now, how they're living their life right now. It's not concerned about God's judgment at all. It's just, you know, I want to be married to her, and he wants to be married to him. You know, I just don't understand
But are they not concerned about where they're going to end up? And they're not concerned about what the God says about these people who are dismissing His word, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God, that they won't be part of the ones that are taken up when God comes back to do the rest? Are they not concerned about that? Are they not? Can't they just see that He is soon to come because the Bible is fulfilling itself, and you're not going to get right. You're just going to go on and do what the Bible say not to do and think you're going to, just because God loves you, that He going to let you get by on His word? Is that what they're thinking?
It's got to be. Nobody's trying to change it, make it right. They didn't quote any scriptures when they came up with that. You didn't hear any of the people on TV talking about, well, this is ordained by God. Nobody said that. They just were concerned about what man said. Nobody was concerned about what God said. This week, I haven't heard anything about what God said that this is okay.
Right. And then took it just for God is love and God loves everybody. Of course He does. He gives you a second chance every day of your life because He gives you new mercies every morning. He gives you grace to help. But are you just going to keep on sinning where you, just because you know that? No, that's not what you do. That's not the way you live the life if you intend on being with God in eternity. I mean, it should go deeper. To me,
When you approach gays about their lifestyle, isn't that what they come back with? Generally what they come back with? Are you saying that God doesn't love me because I'm gay?
Yeah,
isn't that usually their argument?
That's usually the basis of what they want to argue about, what they want to say. Yes, but the thing about it is, just because He loves you and you sin and you think you're supposed to get away with it, that you're supposed to keep on. That's my next question. Where do you think that you know it's wrong and He knows it's wrong? You're supposed to keep doing it just because He loves you? He going to let you go? You won't be punished with it? Or you won't be chastised? Then they can't answer that question.
Well, no, because now you're throwing stones. I mean, you're throwing stones. Now they said that you're judging them.
What you're saying
has do with judgment at all. You're just coming forth and telling what God said. But now they use that excuse. No, well, now you're judging me. So,
yeah.
But my whole question is, where are the preachers at? Where are they standing up? I mean, didn't God give us the prophets and the preachers and all this to, we stand up with them, we're the sheep, we stand up with them, they go forth and they preach the word, and we're the army. But we got
to
have
preachers and all the saints. They supposed to perfect us. They supposed to make us better by the word of God, because they've been here sent by God to teach us and tell us and steer us in the right direction. You know that's on their head, and they don't even act like they care about their destiny in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not going to teach it, if you're not going to tell us what's right, what the Bible says, and you're going to go along with where you lead God's people astray, you lead the sheep out of the pasture. They ain't going down the right road. They going down the left because you won't tell them. You know?
No.
They don't talk about it.
No, they don't talk about it.
Because I have yet to hear, and I may be wrong, and I might have missed it, and I may be wrong. God forgive me if I'm wrong, but I have not heard any of these big church preachers talk on this subject.
I think the only one that has preached has been Pastor Jeffries at First Baptist in downtown Dallas. I think he's the only one that I've heard says anything about it.
Okay. Well, they scared because they probably got a lot of them hid off in their congregation in them big churches, and they don't want to lose them and lose that money they're giving. That's the bottom line. You know, because they probably the big contributors to their church, so they not going to say nothing. What'd you say, sir?
They be having television, so a lot of the big churches that be televised probably won't speak on it, because most, like, the government have a lot of stuff to do with same-sex marriage right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they all up in the legislature. They all up in the House of Congress and all of this stuff. They as quiet as it kept. They don't want to come out either, but they slowly coming out. And then, you know, they endorsing a lot of that stuff, too. You know, so it's just all messed up. It's just all messed up. You know,
I found this article on out of Christian Answers Net. It says God plans for sexuality and marriage. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 1:27. And but he created man because, you know, he created woman because he said he didn't want man to be alone.
And to be alone.
He says, now the flesh of my flesh, he shall be called woman. This article goes on and says, when God created a partner for Adam, he created Eve, not another Adam. This means that perfect partnership requires some level of difference, as well as the level of similarity so great that Adam could cry out loudly. Now, this is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. Sexual intimacy between a woman and a man is the normal method of male and female bonding emotionally and physically, because it corresponds to the design of our bodies, and because it is the normal means by which offspring are created. If God had intended the human race to be fulfilled through both heterosexual and homosexual marriage, he would have designed our bodies to allow reproduction through both means and made both means of sexual intercourse healthy and natural. Homosexual anal intercourse carries a high risk of disease. It is recognized in Scripture where gay men are said to receive in their bodies the due penalty for their error in Romans 1:27.
Amen.
So God has already said what will happen as a result of men coming together. He didn't create it that way.
Yep, and then
so I don't understand how he could see that.
Yeah, I don't either, but they're not living by the word. Just as serious did God take the sin of homosexuality. In Leviticus 20:13, he says, if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. Both of them have done what is detestable. They are to be put to death, and their blood will be on their heads. We realize that the same thing applies to women having sexual relationships with women, for God has no double standards. Just as he is no respecter of person, neither does he regard treating sin with a man any different from that of with a woman.
Okay.
So he don't make him no different whether you're a man or a woman. It's the same. It's a sin. It's an abomination. It ain't right. It's just not right. And you going to hell. And I'm just in a handbasket, like you said, the old people say, you know, that's what happens. It says, the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and for manslaying, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Sometimes sodomites are referring to the same-sex partners and association. It's easy to see when you read the story of Lot and Sodom, which was destroyed by God for such abominations. They don't understand.
You said it in the beginning. They're taking the Bible as old, and it doesn't apply anymore.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. What they're doing. They just took it and turned it around and made it what they want to make it.
Right. Okay, Look at Romans. Chapter 1:19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creatures more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, and men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are in the covenant, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So they've already, this is what, I'm going to put this on Facebook, so they can't say that didn't nobody tell them, because when you, God say he holds you accountable when you come into the knowledge. So you can't say that didn't nobody tell you.
Hey, you can't say that you haven't studied this.
It's clear.
And them, them ministers know the word. And it also says if you know the word and don't do it, you just sin, you commit as much sin as the rest of them.
Right.
You know, you're not supposed to just know the word and don't live by it.
You got to
I can understand that you failed one time, but following 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 10 times, and you already know, you're going to be punished for that. And then you bring a damnation upon me and yourself because you're not telling me. You know, if I don't know, you don't tell me. And then if I do know and I don't do it, well, then that's just as bad anyway. You know, so we are almost a doomed society if we don't study our Bible for ourselves and if we don't follow God's word. That's
and
the main thing.
And then you got the ones
that
hear and don't want to hear. You tell it to them and they don't want to hear.
Turn a deaf ear.
They turn a deaf ear. And so in Romans, God has already told people what he's going to do, how he's going to do it. He's already said that they've turned their mind. They've decided that they're going to do evil despite what he said. Despite how he said they should live their life. I told you to do A, B, C. You're going to do X, Y, Z. So then he's going
to let you. And then turn it around for what I said not to do. And you're just going to do it anyway.
But then, so that means you're going to have to, you can't come back and say you didn't know.
Right, you can't.
You know,
my thing is, when you stand in front of him to give account, that name is in the book, and he asks you why you did so and so and so and so, and you're going to stand up and tell him that I did it because you love me and you're going to forgive me, that's not going to work.
No.
That's not going to work.
But my question is, you can say all that you want to say to me, but My thing is, how are you going to tell God, they got that Bruce Jenner, who they want to honor him because he came into his own being, and he's a 65-year-old man said that he's a woman. I mean, you've been in this world all these years, and now all of a sudden you're a woman.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden you're a woman.
They want to give this 65-year-old man an award for saying that he now wants to be a woman. But what I want to know is, how is he going to stand before God and tell God that he made a mistake when he created him? That's what I want to know. How are they going to do that?
How you going to do it? How you going to do it? What you going to tell the mighty creator? Tell the creator of all beings and everything in this world that he made a mistake.
I just want to know how they're going to do that. That's the only question I have. You know, how you going to tell the man who created you, formed you? Because none of us look alike. You might have some similar. Even twins have a difference. They could look so much alike, but still a difference in them.
They have a difference.
How you going to tell God that he made a mistake when he made you a man because you felt in your body that you should be? How you going to tell him that? He created you from every little part being in your body. How
top
you gonna
of your
tell
head
him he made
to the bottom
mistake?
Of your feet?
Yeah,
from the outside to the inside.
What do you say? You know, he counts every hair on your head.
And your head, he already know.
Counted the hair on your head.
Okay, you can't.
You don't even know what your fingerprint. Everybody got a different fingerprint. Not two people got the same fingerprint.
All the millions and millions of people in this whole world, you know, it's got to be really, really, really a God that he gonna create us all, and we all go, all of us, and we have 5 feet, 10 fingers, and all of them got different fingerprint.
Okay. But you're going to tell him that he made a mistake when he created you, that you were a woman. When he created you, he made a mistake because you felt like you were a woman, not a man. You felt like you were a man and not a woman. He made a mistake. How you going to tell? I went and met Charles Stanley some years ago, the minister in Atlanta. And I had the utmost respect for him. When I got up there, I didn't feel anything, but you could feel the Spirit of God around him when you got up there. And when I got to talk to him, I wanted to say something, and I couldn't come out with anything. And what I was saying to myself, I say, this has got to be just one pinch of how you're going to feel when you step before Jesus. Just one little itty pinch of pinch of how it's going to feel to step before the Lord. And how you going to open up your mouth and tell God that you created me, but you made a mistake when you created me? How you gonna tell him that? That's what I'm curious about. How Bruce Jenner going to tell God this man had six or eight kids, and now he's a woman? How you going to tell God that he made a mistake, that itchy-bitchy mistake he made, and he made you a woman, but you ain't had six to eight kids?
But wait a minute. But after 65 years, you done turned. Did he turn you when you were 65?
Yeah.
Okay.
He been feeling that all these years. When he was running triathlon and he was doing all these things. When did he make that mistake?
Okay. See,
you have no
children.
When did it happen?
All eight of them. You done changed in the minute that you was conceiving children. Is that what had happened? I don't know. It's just a baffle to me. Beverly, I can't understand this, and I wish that we had some more input from our listening audience. They needed to have called us tonight at 310-982-4126. We must continue this. We must continue.
I think we're going to advertise all week long. We're going to advertise this all week long to push for more callers.
And get some callers to call in and tell us about this. We need to hear some more voices about this.
Yeah.
We need some ministers. I would really love to talk to a homosexual to find out where how he justifies this so that we can see. We don't want to judge him. We don't want to put him on the spot, but we just want to know how he justifies it.
You can't understand confusion, so I ain't going to try and understand it. I just want to understand I just want to know how they're going to tell God that he made a mistake.
And how you come to the conclusion that you's a girl instead of a boy.
How you going to tell him that? You have a hard time, you know. I think you'd have a hard time if you go and you tell your mama that she made a mistake when she gave birth to you, or you made a mistake when you gave birth to me. What do you mean I made a mistake?
I had nothing to do with that. I you was created out of God's image, not bad. I ain't do that. That was him, okay?
Yeah, but you know
but
when your mama did something in your life, how you going to go back and tell mama she made all those mistakes? How you going to go back? She the mama.
Okay.
Hey, you gonna tell mama she made those mistakes? I'm kind of confused on that. But I sure love to hear that.
We're gonna put that question out there. We're gonna put that question out there this week and do that advertising maybe and see what we can come up with. Okay.
Let's take it one more week because I'm sure want to know.
Okay. All right. Well, we thank God for this opportunity tonight to let our listening audience hear about same-sex marriage and what God has to say about it. And we hope we can get some more callers to call in on next week. And we want to thank our caller that was on the line with us tonight for participating in our conversation. We appreciate it, and we hope that you continue to listen to our show on Monday nights. My sister, my friend, we're trying to get the word out, trying to let you know what's going on in our society today. So keep listening and keep joining in with us. Bev, you want to go ahead and end us with a word of prayer?
Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for your loving kindness, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, we thank you for your caring for us, for touching us and healing our bodies. Lord, we ask that you bless and raise up Willie Burrell, that she's in intensive care. We ask that you bless and heal Mother Hollis and Patsy Wally and Linda Johnson. And Lord, we thank you for bringing LaShondra Lewis through her surgery and guiding the hands of the doctor so that she's completely well now. We thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you touch the ministers out here and all these ministers in these different churches. And Lord, that you give a sound out and let these men come, these men of God, stand out and preach your words. Come outside the church houses, Lord. Come on the streets and give your word to the men and women that are lost out here in this world, Lord. Lord, we need you more today than ever before. And but Lord, we know that you're still on the throne, and we know that your word stands. You wrote it, and it stands true today as ever before. And Lord, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus' name, amen. And please join us, listeners, on tomorrow night for our marriage seminar, a relationship show, and on Wednesday night with Elder Jordan on the prayer line, and on Friday night at Street Talk with LaShawn in ages 18 to 35. And then on Saturday morning, join Minister Joel Lewis as he comes forth with different topics, talking to the community about the events and things that are going on in the community and giving resources and help to young men, old men, all men around the world. So God bless him, and we thank you for listening tonight. Join us again on next Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Thank God. Thank you, Beverly, for the sponsorship and the opportunity to do this, and we love you, and we take care, and I will talk to you later.
Good night.
God bless. Good night.